Many experts are getting in their own way without even noticing. Tell me, have you ever felt like you are on the brink of something awesome, but something invisible just slams the brake on you? And it does sound like a little bit of a plot twist in a drama series, but it is so real for many of us. Fear can be a sneaky snake that creates self-sabotage, and we don't even realize it. That's why we're today exposing fear. We're exposing the ways in which fear can be sabotaging your growth. And how can you overcome it so you can be courageous despite fear? I am excited for this episode, so let's go. Welcome to Creator to Leader. Are you struggling to connect with your ideal customers online? Are you confused about the most effective way to market your business? If you're ready to become the go-to expert in your industry and stand out from the crowd, this podcast is for you. Hey, I'm Eugenia. That's Eugenia in Spanish, but you can call me E. My mission is to help entrepreneurs stand out online so that they can grow their businesses. I do this through comprehensive marketing strategies, impactful content plans, and storytelling leadership. We both know you are running on caffeine and big dreams, so let's dive right in. I've been having so many behind-the-scenes conversations with people who know what they have to do, yet they feel like there's a force holding them back. And this sounds dramatic because it is dramatic. And I've realized that this force, in most cases, is fear. And before we dive into the episode, I want to ask you, have you left a review for the podcast recently? If you haven't, please take a minute to share what this podcast has taught you, something you value, something that you found inspirational, what other people might find valuable. Reviews help the show be found by other experts like you, other creators, ready to become leaders, ready to make a bigger impact that aligns with their calling. Your time means the world to me. So thank you so much for your words. Okay, I have a confession to make. For the past few months, I've been struggling with feeling uncomfortable in my body. Since moving to Miami from North Carolina, I've gained a considerable amount of weight and my clothes don't fit and I just don't look and feel like myself. And I'm being transparent. I think there's nothing wrong with going through these seasons of just having a complicated relationship with your image. But the problem that I have noticed or that I noticed and that I'm actively working on is that this has paralyzed me from sharing content online and showing up because the way I look hasn't been perfect. And since I'm not feeling great about my body at the moment, I've been trying to control everything else around me. And that is affecting my growth. And I'm talking relationship, business, family, like so many things that are out of my control. When I caught this a couple of weeks ago, I really stopped on my tracks. And I knew that I first had to do kind of a deep dive internally, go on a personal retreat. And then I had to bring this to you on the podcast because sharing is caring and I don't want to wait until I'm 100% on the other side to share this with you because I feel like I'm in a place where I completely understand when someone is having something holding them back and realizing that in most cases that is fear. So I want to share three of these signs that fear might be sneaking in with you. The first one is control. And control means wanting to not necessarily just own your behavior and control your actions, but controlling the outcome, controlling things that are not up to you. So when you want to control your partner, you want to control your kids, you want to control the way a person speaks and you just don't understand how that person speaks. Or maybe you're having a conversation with a friend and you're just trying to find the words to control their response or control their actions instead of just sharing your thoughts from a place of, let me be vulnerable and just share my mind. some signs that control is something that you're struggling with is being overly critical and trying to find the one thing that's wrong. Like if you are in this moment receiving feedback that, oh, everything is perfect, but you look at the one thing that's wrong, or maybe you are noticing it where it's very hard for you to find contentment and you are just focusing on the one thing that didn't come out as planned, maybe that is control that's affecting you in this moment. Also, you might be wanting to predict the future. And actually, I'm terrible at this. I am not a great, well, I don't think no one is a medium to predict the future, but I am particularly not the best at predicting what's going to happen. I do have intuition when it comes to relationships because I know and kind of understand what's happening in terms of, you know, the energy between people. But just random situations, I'm not the best at just predicting the future. Yet when I'm trying to regain control and being overly critical in case like my body, I try to predict what's going to happen, like fully predict when am I going to be able to go back to my routine, like trying to predict things that are completely out of my control. And when it comes to the way we communicate, that shows up in trying to manipulate our audience's answer, right? And I was noticing this because I was writing an email the other day and I caught myself, right? I was saying something not because it was true necessarily, but because I was trying to create a response. And I literally, like, I finished an email and I deleted the whole thing and started over because I realized that I was trying to be controlling. So trying to be controlling, that can also come up in the way we show up online. I see this in sales content so much. When a person shares a story that's overly sad and it doesn't relate to what they're selling or their transformation, but they're just trying to like manipulate the audience. And maybe we can go deeper into this because I need to develop this idea further, but it's just this manipulative sales tactic that comes from a place of, I'm going to share this to try to control you. And again, this comes from fear because whenever we're trying to control the external, it usually means that there's something going on with us internally that we are not paying attention to. So how do you overcome this? I really try to go for simple tips that could make a big difference because I truly advocate for therapy and taking care of your mind, of your soul with professional help. But there are so many things that we can do for ourselves to advocate for ourselves and really take ownership and really control in a positive way of our state. And in the case of control, that starts with changing your internal state. And I personally, I don't fully believe in affirmations. I think they're nice, but I do believe in calming your nervous system to create support. And there are three powerful questions from a marriage book I'm reading. I'm going to leave it below in the show notes that I adapted from this marriage book to the realm of confidence and our leadership skills. And these questions are amazing questions to journal on. What am I afraid of? Is my fear realistic? Can I actually control the situation? Is it worth the growth it would cost me to try to control? Is there anything in my physical body, my spiritual life, or my mental health that needs to be taken care of that I'm ignoring? For example, maybe you are not getting enough sleep. In my case, I realized that I was being overly controlling with things around my business. And I noticed that it's because I hadn't taken full, I felt like out of control with my body, with my weight. So I was trying to control the external because my habits were not where I feel comfortable with, if that makes sense. So look at your physical body, your spiritual life. For me, I was also slacking on prayer. To me, spending time with God every morning is a must. That really sets the tone for the rest of my day. And I noticed that I was getting up so late, like late to the point of like waking up, working out, showering, getting to work. And I really do need my 30 minutes, 45 minutes of spending time with God in the morning. Like, that is the best thing I need for my day. Like, more important than anything else. So this last question that are you, is there anything in your physical body, spiritual life, or mental health that needs to be taken care of? It's super important. The second sign of fear is procrastination, and that's leaving things for later. I feel like we've all been there at one point or another. And I'm so guilty of this because with ADHD, I get overwhelmed when I have to tackle massive projects. So for sure, overwhelmed because of ADHD might definitely be a reason. But also another reason that is actually the real culprit of this overwhelm is fear. And Stephen Pressfield, he's a wonderful author. And side note, his writing style actually reminds me a lot of Seth Godin. So I 100% recommend his books. In his book, The Art of War, he goes deep into the concept of resistance. And this is an internal force opposing our efforts to achieve our goals. In the book, he talks about how procrastination is one of the main manifestations of resistance, right? So resistance is this force and it shows up as procrastination. And it exists, resistance exists because we are struggling with fear. And it can be truly fear of failure, what's going to happen if I fail, fear of success, of keeping up with this standard. Maybe we are trying to do something that's complicated, and then we're afraid of having to continue to challenge ourselves to that degree for, you know, forever. Or we're afraid of having to, you know, if your account blows up and you get 1 million followers, then am I going to have to respond to all these people? That is real fear of success, fear of judgment, fear of the unknown, right? Fear of losing control. So you see how they are all a little bit interrelated. When we procrastinate, we are often avoiding the fear instead of confronting the fear. We're crossing the street. And I want to tell you this because this is for myself, for so many of my closest friends, that they think that because they procrastinate, oh, I'm lazy, I'm disorganized. Not necessarily. Most likely, there's a fear issue there. It is, after all, procrastination is a defense mechanism. Even for people with ADHD, it is a defense mechanism. The thing is, the more important a task is for our growth, the more resistance we'll face because the more growth is required. So the areas where we really, really, really need to grow are the areas where we need to push a little bit harder to get to that growth. So that push is scary. It causes fear and it causes then procrastination. So how to overcome procrastination? You need to separate the task of planning from the task of doing. And if you're one of those people who sits down to work on a big project and starts looking at the big to-do list and trying to decide what to do first, you are setting yourself up for failure. And this was me for years. So I'm speaking from the heart when I say I completely understand. You want to do something massive and you sit down and you're like, okay, I'm going to work on my new podcast. So you sit down and you're like, oh my gosh, there are so many things to do. You get overwhelmed, you procrastinate. That's because you're trying to plan the task at the same time that you're going to actually do the task. So you need to separate both activities because thinking and doing happen in different parts of your brain. So if you're already struggling with fear, you need to give yourself the systems that you need to take action. So you need to approach this, I like to look at it as an onion, in layers. Do things from the first big layer, what's the next smaller layer, and how can you make it smaller and smaller during planning, so then when it's time to take action, you don't have to wonder, what do I need to do today? You need to take it to the smallest task needed so you feel at peace with what you have to do. And also, don't wait for the fear to go away, because it's not going to happen. It is so easy to confuse fear with intuition. You think that just because you are having this resistance, it's a definite sign that, quote unquote, oh, it's just not meant to be. And no, it's not. Not necessarily. Spoiler alert. Change is scary. Stop waiting for it to go away for you to decide to take action. And finally, the third sign is perfectionism. And you've probably heard about this so many times. But a sneaky way that perfectionism shows up is in making you think that you need more time to figure out what's exactly the right thing to do. So it's not like you do revisions and revisions, which, yes, is a form of perfectionism, but it's just the fact that you keep thinking and you keep expanding the thinking period. And every time someone follows up with you and asks about that project, you say, oh, yeah, I'm just trying to figure out XYZ. I'm trying to decide if I want to do YouTube or podcast. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to figure out if I want to talk to single moms or if I want to talk to married moms. And you stay thinking and thinking and thinking. And this is not procrastination, because you actually sit down and you might be doing market research, and maybe you are looking at blogs and you're reading books. Like, you are actually taking action. You are just trying to get all the answers right before moving forward. And this also comes from fear of failure. I have a past of a good girl syndrome. And this is doing things to be liked, to get approved. And I usually see this in people who have either been heavily criticized in the past or people who are highly critical of others. And you are so used to going hard after those weaknesses or failures or how a person looks or what did they say or what are they doing. Like, you're so used to that, that your mind is almost trained to look for what's wrong, to look for the failure, to look for the mistake. That's how you're training your mind. So how do you overcome it? First and foremost, stop being so judgy. And my friend Jocelyn actually gave me such helpful advice a couple of years ago. I feel like it was 2019, something like that. She told me to stop criticizing others, and I was going to start seeing how I was going to start feeling better about myself. And she was 100% right. And also, when I married my husband, he has a zero tolerance policy to gossip and commenting on people's body, like body or physical or what they're doing or their jobs. And probably that's why I like reality TV so much, because I needed my outlet of a little bit of drama, if we're being honest. But in all seriousness, removing this almost compulsion to judge and criticize people online, that really gave me so much confidence and helped me overcome the fear of what others would say if I wasn't perfect or if I didn't get it right all the time. And it's crazy, but when you start retraining your mind so it doesn't look at the flaws in other people, you become way more compassionate. And you need to be compassionate, which leads me to the next way of overcoming perfectionism, which is acceptance. Failure or criticism or even success, they don't define you. Success doesn't define you. Because I have news for you. You will probably not get it right 100% all the time. The first time. When you start posting on Instagram, sharing a new message, people will probably start sending your posts to each other and will talk behind your back through the DMs. Like, that's going to happen. Accept it. You don't have to be your own worst critic, because other people will take care of it. Whether you win, whether you lose, whether people send your posts to each other and they talk about how amazing you are, that doesn't define you either. That doesn't say anything about who you are as a person or the value that you have as a person. And the last thing to overcome perfectionism is to set boundaries. I had to learn this a couple of years ago, and it has changed my life. you need to limit external opinions. Not everyone needs to be allowed to tell you what they think about what you're doing. It's okay to put in those boundaries, put those boundaries in place, and that doesn't make you a bad person. You don't have to overly explain. Also, those boundaries go to people who love you. Because many times people, even though love us, they don't understand what we're building. They don't have the full story. They don't have the big picture. And in the world of personal branding specifically, strategies are not always right or wrong. They just work or don't work for you depending on your goal, depending your resources, what's happening. Like, it's not just 2 + 2 = 4. So many times people give us advice or, you know, they try to come in and tell us what they think, but they don't have that full picture. But first you need to define really your boundaries. Like, what's your limit? What do you accept? Why don't you accept? And then communicate your boundaries. What are you or what are you not available to anymore? Because it's a little bit unfair to get mad at someone because they said something that it's a boundary for you, but you've never told them that that's going to happen. I had a friend. Oh, I'm going to be honest with you. We're almost at the end. So this is only for you, the loyals here. I had a friend who used to comment on, or like, our friendship was to comment on everyone else's personal life and personal decisions. And I once decided that it was a boundary for me that I would not accept for her to comment on the physical appearance of people in my life. And this friend got so mad, and they said that I was being almost betraying them and changing the friendship because I was hurting their freedom of speech. And that really changed our friendship to the point that we are not friends anymore, because to this person, me having a boundary for what they could and couldn't say was betrayal. But I communicated my boundary. So when you communicate your boundaries, you also need to accept that other people may not like it, and that is okay. Again, the rejection or the approval of your boundaries doesn't mean anything about you as a person. I am so proud when I see a person in my life or a client set a boundary, because that just speaks to how they're taking care of their own internal dialogue, of their mindset, of even their spiritual life. That makes me really, really proud. So that's a wrap on today's deep dive into facing and dancing with our fears. If this episode hit home for you, if you've picked up something that changed the game for you, please, 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 please drop a review. Share what clicked, what moved you. Even what you would tell a friend about these episodes, because your reviews are like gold. They help get the podcast out to other brilliant minds who are looking to step up their personal brand game, who are looking to make their mark, and they're looking to stay true to their calling. Your words mean the world to me. And I can't thank you enough for taking the time, for the support that you've shown the podcast these months. Let's keep this conversation going. Remember, fear's got nothing on you. Thank you for hanging out with me. I'll catch you in the next episode. Un beso. I hope you loved this episode. If you connected with the podcast in some way, please rate it and review it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That is the number one way you can support the show. And because sharing is caring, share it with a fellow entrepreneur wanting to become a leader, not just a creator. I am so grateful for you. I'd love to hear from you. Shoot me a DM over to @eugenia.wu. That's @EUGENIA.WOO. And if you only send me a microphone emoji, I will know that you stayed till the end. Thank you for listening. See you soon.